We're going to consider this morning the theme, The Greatest Father of All. And our text is found in Matthew chapter 3. I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't, there's one in the pew. Matthew chapter 3 and the verses found in the words of verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some time ago, I read about an old sea captain who left home at an early age to go to sea. He decided to return to his home in Maine. The captain had sailed around the world, guiding his ship and his crew through many dangerous obstacles. Returning after a long and illustrious and outstanding career, he was going back now to the waters that he loved and the waters that he knew. But as the ship entered the main harbor, it struck a group of rocks and crashed. And then the author of that story made this comment. Though he had mastered the seven seas, he could not maneuver safely the rocks at home. That has been true of many a man. And then he made this observation, and I quote, Men take pride in knowing how to navigate good business deals, make wise investments, climb the ladder of success, yet crash and concede failure on the home front. And that statement is true of many fathers today across this country. They have failed on the home front. By that I mean, basically, they don't have a Christian relationship with members of their family. And this will never happen until they come to the realization that until they know God to be their Father through faith in Jesus Christ, they will never be the father and the dad that God wants them to be. Now, the Bible reveals that there's only one perfect father, and that's God Himself. And the pages of the New Testament give us a beautiful glimpse of the marvelous relationship between God the Father and Christ the Son. And I want you to note, on three different occasions, the Bible records these words of the Father to His Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And it is that relationship, similar yet different, that I would plead this morning for every father in this sanctuary, that you might have a living and a personal and a powerful relationship both with your children and with your wife. And that can happen. As we focus on fatherhood, let me make a few observations about God the Father, the greatest father of them all. I want you to consider, first of all, that God the Father, now note, he acknowledged his love for his son. He didn't hide it. He didn't skip over it. He spoke about it openly. He acknowledged his love for his son. Now here before us we have the baptism of Jesus. And I want you to note the entire Trinity was present. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And they were involved in this glorious event. And then God's voice from heaven was heard saying. Notice there in the words of verse 17. This is my beloved son. Phillips puts it this way. This is my dearly beloved son. The NIV is excellent. This is my son whom I love. A little later on at the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father reaffirmed and publicly declared his love for his son. when using the same identical words, he says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, "This is my beloved Son." Now, I want to say something this morning that every father here needs to hear. God the Father never grew tired of telling his Son that he loved him. On three different occasions. The first recorded words of God to his Son are the most important words that any father will ever speak. Notice them. "I love you." Long after you're gone, those words are going to be sounded again and again in that child's ear. "I love you." Now, our children constantly need to hear these words from our lips. We need to declare and we need to demonstrate our love for them privately and publicly. This cannot be taken for granted. We need to tell them that we love them. And then we need to show that love and demonstrate it. I beg of you this morning as a father, yea, as a mother, that your love may be known. Broadcast it to your family members. Let them hear it. The home into which I was born had many problems. I never knew my real father as he left my mother shortly after my sister and I were born. Our adopted father was a great provider, but he wasn't the type to express openly or to say, "I love you." My mother, who bore me, came from a family that seldom, if ever, openly they expressed the words, "I love you." And because of the background, I had to learn openly how to express my love both to my wife and to my children. And I want you to know that whenever I converse with my children, Suzanne or Jeffrey or Ellie, I have made it a point to never allow a conversation to go by without expressing those words, "I love you." So they'll know it, and they'll realize it, and they'll hear it from me, which I never heard growing up. Now, a word of caution is in order here. Since fathers are in various stages regarding the life of love, and because of their different backgrounds and different insights into how to openly express their love, allowances need temporarily to be made until the art of loving can be learned in practice. And this is where we need to be charitable, lovable. We need to wait sometimes and realize that that can come and it must come. And if they allow Jesus Christ to be their example and God the Father to help them, it won't be long where they will be able and willing to express those words, "I love you." Jesus heard it from God the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." What a day it would be on this Father's Day if some of us would make a covenant with God and by the power of His Holy Spirit would begin to say to our children openly, "I do love you, and I am concerned about you." That might be a revolutionary day in that family. But let's go on. Then in the second place, God the Father not only acknowledged His love for His Son, but I want you to notice, secondly, that He also announced His delight in His Son. He announced it. On the same two occasions, at the baptism and the transfiguration of Jesus, God declared His approval and delight of His Son. Listen to the words of God, the God of heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The New Living Translation puts it, "This is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. Can you imagine what those kind words must have meant to Jesus as he was on his way to the cross? To know that God the Father was concerned about him, loved him, and was pleased in what he was going to do for the world. The word pleased, as found in our text, implies delight in, approval of, consent. It's interesting that the tense of the Greek verb here is timeless and denotes that God the Father had always been pleased with God the Son and continued to be pleased with God the Son. He completely approved of what the Son was doing in the fulfillment of his plan of redemption. And he let Jesus know about it, and he was delighted in it. In the same manner as God our Father, our children need to hear words of approval and affirmation and acceptance. Whatever their gifts, whatever their talents, we must let them know of our approval and delight in who they are and what they are doing. And may I also inculcate at this point, this also should be said regarding our wives. We need to compliment them on how they look and what they are wearing and express our deep appreciation for their part in keeping the family together. That's where we need to speak up. And it is right at this point, I believe, that many husbands and fathers fail in home life for many reasons. Some husbands and fathers have trouble voicing not only their love, but their appreciation for family members. They can't seem to put their tenderest feelings into words. I tell you this morning, from my own experience, it can happen to you. You might not be able to do it in your own strength, but with God the Father, and Jesus Christ the Son, and the Spirit of the living God living within you, he will give you the divine enablement not only to say, I love you, but to exhibit that appreciation that every father ought to express. Someone has said, our children need to know you care, that when they need us, that we'll be there. But deep within, they need to hear that they are loved by someone dear. And it just might be that your wife or your son or your daughter is starving today to hear those words. Jesus heard them from God the Father. This is my beloved son. This is the son that I adore, and I am well pleased with him. Well, we have looked at two points regarding the greatest father of them all. We have considered that God the Father acknowledged his love for his son. We have come to grips with the fact that he announced his delight in his son. Let me give you a third. It's very simple. God the Father acclaimed his confidence in his son. If you have your Bibles, would you take them for just a moment and turn with me to Matthew chapter 17? And here we have the Mount of Transfiguration. And God the Father added a third phrase that we need to catch. Notice there the words in verse 5. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now listen to the words of God the Father. Hear ye him. God the Father was claiming and proclaiming his confidence in God the Son. The NIV renders it, listen to him. In other words, God the Father was telling those disciples there, when my son speaks, you ought to listen. He's got something to say to you that's important. Now, the Apostle Peter had good intentions in the surrounding verses when he offered to build shelters for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. But I want you to recognize that God the Father wanted him to realize that there was something much more important for him to grasp. So he interrupted Peter to tell him to stop talking and to start listening. And he says, listen to what my son has to tell you, Peter, because later on in life, you're going to need what my son Jesus is telling you. And I want to tell you, Peter did, because there came that time in Peter's life. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, watch out, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I'm going to be praying for you. And we all remember that night, the blackness of it. How Peter denied his precious Lord. But Jesus forgave him and restored him. And God the Father is telling Peter at this time, my son, he's got something to say. I want you to listen to him. Now, let's leave that wonderful, splendid example of the transfiguration and let's come down to on a human level. Paul the Apostle pronounced confidence in Timothy, his spiritual son. Maybe some of you don't realize, but Timothy became Paul's ambassador to the churches at Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Ephesus. And in that capacity, Timothy proved to be faithful to the Lord, consistent in his lifestyle, and genuinely interested in the welfare of others. And he was a proven Christian worker. And when Paul desired to send Timothy to Philippi, he wrote this of him in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 and 22. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. Now notice his compliment and his confidence in Timothy. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. What words of confidence. What words of encouragement about Timothy. And don't forget for one moment that Timothy ever forgot those words of Paul when he encouraged him and had confidence in him. He never forgot it. Now, like God's confidence in Jesus, and like Paul's confidence in Timothy, our children need to know that we as fathers have confidence in them and in their ability to contribute to the kingdom of God. May I say to you this morning that nothing your Christian children will do is insignificant when it comes to the work of the kingdom. They don't have to be a missionary. They don't have to be an evangelist or a pastor. God doesn't differentiate between the secular and the spiritual. Plowing corn can be as much in God's will as preaching Christ. Whatever they're doing, we ought to be proud of them. And we ought to have confidence in them. And they need to know it. Because the greatest father of all exhibited it before his precious son. Well, that's all about God the Father. Let me add another characteristic. God the Father attributed honor to his son. Later in Peter's life, as he recounted the day that he witnessed the transformation of Jesus, He remembered how God bestowed honor on the Son. Peter never forgot it. And when he wrote 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, he wrote these words. He says, "We were eyewitness of his majesty, for he," Christ, "received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" And here, God honored his Son before all of those disciples there at the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, to honor means to give recognition, respect, value. It shows worth. Several years ago, Ellie and I, we were teaching a Sunday school class down in the pastor's study to young couples. Maybe some of you can remember that. And we were using a video series from a Christian psychologist. And he was talking about the different ways that husbands and wives express love. Not everyone expresses love the same way. You might be someone here this morning that you like to touch. Or you might be someone who expresses love by buying gifts. But he was saying, he said, when a wife comes into the room, he says they need to feel worth, honor. It's like bowing down to. Can't you imagine when you go in the room this afternoon and someone bows down to you? That hasn't happened to me. And it probably won't happen to you. But it's the respect. It's the honor that they feel. So often in family life, we tend to fixate our attention more on failure instead of successes, more on defeats instead of accomplishments. At this point, we must take a lesson from the father of the prodigal son. Remember what happened? He had two sons. The elder brother stayed right at home. And the prodigal son went out in the far distant land of sin. And one day, the prodigal started on his way home. The elder brother didn't like it when he heard that the prodigal son was getting a festive reception. But that's what his father did. You read that story there, and you will find that there was no harassment for wrongs done. No lectures, no criticism, no snide remarks. Only honor. That the son had made the rightful decision to return home. And the father was proud of his son for returning home and recognizing his folly. Do you know who that father is a picture of? Because in that story, it's not the story of the prodigal, it's the story of the prodigal's father. It was the father who welcomed him back. It was the father who forgave. It was the father who put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. It was the father who said, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And it was the father who gave him the celebration. And the father in that picture is a wonderful picture of God the Father forgiving us when we come home as sinners. And we're forgiven and restored and redeemed and regenerated. Listen to the words. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" And notice now, "And he began to be merry." On this special Sunday, we are in need of more fathers like that who are willing to exhibit a genuine spirit of forgiveness instead of critical, judgment regarding some of our backslidden children. They need our prayers and they need our help. And then one final thought in closing. I want you to note that God the Father accepted glory from His Son. After the Father had done all of that, and when the Son realized all that the Father had done, now the Son gives glory to God the Father. On this third occasion, when God spoke to His Son, I want you to notice it was for the benefit of the crowd. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verse 28. John chapter 12, verse 28. Notice those moving words there in verse 28. We read, "Father, glorify thy name." And then came a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And later on, both Peter and John attested to having seen the glory of God the Father produced in the Son, as witnessed to His majesty. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle John reaffirms this truth when he declared, "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the Apostle Peter wrote of this truth when he said, "He received honor and glory from God the Father." And that's what happens when we as fathers express our love, have confidence in our children, honor our children. The time is going to come when they will bring glory and honor, and they'll give it back to you. There'll be glory in their lives and glory from their lives. And they'll look back. Is there a father here this morning and you have children that you didn't receive a personal telephone call or a visit or a card? I'm sure you did, because I did. They go something like this: "Dear Dad, thanks so much for who you are, and what you taught me, and how you loved me, and what you did for me." I mean, can't get any better than that. And long after you're gone, they'll bring glory to your name. The greatest father of all. And He's given us a little demonstration of how we can become better fathers with His help. Shall we pray?